Now we're holding on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis beginning the fourth parak of the Masechta. Now that we learned at the end of the third parak, we were talking about a person who makes a neder not to have hana from different classes of people. So we had people who go on sea voyages, people who have people whose hair is sometimes visible, people who have who are circumcised, who aren't, etc., etc. So now the next two prakim are going to define for us in more detail what exactly is entailed when a person says that I'm not going to have a neder, I'm not going to have hana from somebody, or somebody's not going to have hana from me. What exactly is and isn't included? What kind of things are under that category of things that are where the hana is and isn't usur? And we're going to see. There are various things that are not considered hana for one reason or another as we go through these two prakim. So first the Mishnah starts off, Ein ben hamudr hana mechavegai, lamudr hemenu machol. Now there's two ways that you could make them in general. When you make a neder to not have hana from somebody, there are two ways that you could formulate the neder. You could say, I'm making a neder not to have hana from him at all. And you can make a neder that I'm not going to have hana from him that has to do with food. So the Mishnah is saying there's no difference. Ein ben hamudra hana mechaveira. There's no difference between whether you say I'm mudra hana as in I'm not going to have hana from him at all. Mamudra memenu macho. Or when you're saying that I won't have hana from him that has to do with food. Ella, the only difference is drisas harego. The only difference is as far as walking through his property. If you make a neder to not have hana from him, then you're not allowed to walk or take a shortcut or something through his property. But if it was only a neder, have things having to do with food, then you would be allowed to, because that has nothing to do with food. The kelim she'ein oisin behen oichol nefesh, and also a difference is as far as borrowing kelim that are not used for food. As the mission is going to go on to define what those are. So what do we mean? Hamudr machol mechaveir. So if a person makes a neder that he won't have hana of food from somebody else, lo yashilenu nafa. So he's not allowed. So his friend is not allowed to lend him a sieve that will be used for sifting flour, or kvara, or a sifter that's used for sifting the grain to get out the shells and whatever that are the shells and the pieces of dirt and whatever that are there. Verechayim, or millstones to grind the grain. Vetanur, or an oven to bake the bread. And the Ran explains the chiddush of mentioning all those things is. The Ran and all the other Mephoshim over here explain that the chiddush of it is, you would think, if the Mishnah hadn't told you, maybe kelim she'ein oisin behen oichol nefesh means things that are used dafka for ready-to-eat food. So, for example, or where the food is going to be ready right, not ready to eat, but rather where the food is going to be ready right after you use that kelim. Let's say, for example, you would understand that under those circumstances, you can't borrow a pot from the other person, because as soon as you use the pot, as soon as you cook the food in it, the food is ready to eat. Here, we're talking about things that are further removed from food. You're sifting the flour. You're still pretty far from edible food. The same thing with all the other ones. So you would think that maybe you would be allowed to. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not. But the Mishnah continues, Mashaloi choluk, but on the other hand, the other person would be allowed to lend you a shirt, the tabas, or a ring, the talus, or a talus, a cloak, or nizamim, or rings, because none of those have to do with oichol nefesh. We're going to see in the Gemara what the point of mentioning those is, and we're going to see whether there are, in fact, in the next Mishnah, by the way, we're going to see on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph that it's different if these things are regularly rented rather than lending. Then there is hanas machol involved, because then the fact that the other person is lending you this, for example, meaning that you don't have to go and rent one, is saving you money, which now you can use for food. So that's different. That'll be the next Mishnah. But right now we're talking about in a place where people regularly lend out these small items to one another. So there's no mumun involved. And therefore there's nothing that brings to hanas machol. Therefore it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, man tan. This that we said in the Mishnah, that that if the neder is that you're mudur hanah, then you're not even allowed to take a shortcut. You're not even allowed to walk through the other guy's property. Man tana, which tana is it that says that? The question is, it's such a small hanah. It's such a small hanah to take a shortcut through somebody else's property. It's not even something that most people would mind because there's no hefsin involved. Which tana is it that says that nevertheless that would be considered hanah? The answer is Amar Rabba Adaba Abba Rabba Eliezer. That would be according to Rabba Eliezer, the Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, Rabba Eliezer Omer, Afilu Vitur Osir B'Mudur Hanah. When it comes to a Mudur Hanah, which is the subject of our parak, even Vitur is Osir. Vitur is the kind of thing. It means like giving away. The Ran gives an example. You sell something, for example, it's normal to throw in a little something extra. You're buying a certain amount of payas. It's normal that the seller will throw in an extra fruit or two for free. So even that kind of thing is also by a mudur hanah. And the Ran mentions this means, man, we talked about in the previous parak about the different kinds of things that you're selling. Sometimes you have something which is very difficult to sell. Nobody wants to buy it. We call it Zvina de Romi al Ape. It's like sitting on his face and blocking his vision. And the seller is thinking to himself, I wish I could get rid of this. So now when somebody finally goes and buys it, then he may even throw in a little extra something, a little something extra for free. Even that kind of thing, says Rabbi Eliezer, is considered a hanah, and therefore, so even though, and therefore, it would be also, by the same token, it's also then to walk through the other person's property. Meanwhile, the other chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer would also disagree with our Mishnah. Now, the Ran and Tosfos bring up a point that we find in a different Gemara that says that actually seems to imply that using another person's chotzer is in fact a problem and people are machbid. So if people are machbid, then there's no question that's considered a hanah. So even the chachamim would have to agree. Why are we saying over here that only Rabbi Eliezer would consider that a hanah? So the Ram brings an answer from the Ramban that there we're talking about to hang around in the chotzer, to loiter there. So most people are going to object to that. So the Gemara there in Baba Basra is saying that kind of thing people would mind. So that kind of thing is definitely considered a hanah. Here we're just talking about walking through. We're just talking about taking a shortcut. So therefore, only Rabbi Eliezer would consider it a hanah. The Chachamim would not. Tosfos over here gives a different answer, and in greater detail they talk about it in Baba Basra, that the difference is that here we're talking about, for example, we're talking about a valley. You have an area with a bunch of fields. When the fields are not currently being worked, when they're lying fallow anyway, after the harvest, before the plowing season, whatever, usually people don't mind when you walk through their fields. And it's not like it's anywhere near their house anyway that they should object. As opposed to Tosfos says a chotzer would be different. The Gemara there in Baba Basra is talking about a chotzer. Where there, that's closer to your house. You may mind even people using it as a shortcut. But here we'll be talking about a valley full of fields. So here, only Rabbi Eliezer would consider it hanah. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. That if the neder was to not have hanah, then even that kind of minor hanah is aser. Whereas if it was hanah, if the neder was only mudur hemenu machol, the neder is that he won't have hanah from him that has to do with food, then taking a shortcut through his fields or through his chotzer or whatever will not be considered hanah. The Ran also adds that since we have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, then that implies you the halacha should be like him. Also, we have something in the next parak that implies that. The Ram then brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that says that no, the halacha and Rabbeinu Tam, who say the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch it's Paskin, like Rabbi Eliezer over here, that even this kind of minor hanah is also in the case when a person made such a neder. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Mudr Maicha Mechaver Lo Yashilechul. We said if he made a neder not to have hanah of food from somebody else, then the other person is not allowed to lend him a sieve or a sifter or the various kalim that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So the question is, why should those be also Bahamin Michael Nader? Didn't he make the neder not to have food from him? So these are not actual food. So we understand it means he wouldn't be allowed to eat the other person's food. But why should he be also to borrow kalim that are used for food? The answer is Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, but Omer Hanas Mal Falfa Olai. The answer is that Rav Shlakish says, it's not talking about where he just said a neder that I won't have your food. He added the word Hanas. He said, the Hanah of your food will be also to me. So that means, in other words, that he's making himself also in anything that brings to food that can be eaten. Machol Cha, the Ran says, because you're the one who's causing me the Hanah, who makes the food able to be eaten. So the fact that he used the word Hanas, if he had just used the word Machol Cha, then you're right. Only the other guy's food would be also to him. But because he uses the word Hanas, therefore that strengthens it, and that makes that he can't use the Kalim either. But the Gemara says, Ema, still, you could say that Hanas Macholcha means something else. You could say it means Shalom Yiloy Schitin Beitin Amakosar. It means that he's asking himself not only that I won't eat your food, but also that I won't have Hana from something that you ate. Namely, that you will be also to chew wheat and put it on my womb. The Gemara mentions in Psachim, and we learned it briefly in Ksubas as well, that there's a Mishnah in Psachim that says you're not allowed to do that on Pesach, because saliva makes the wheat chomet. But the Mishnah with that is implying, we learned in Ksubas, we have the expression, Loshen Chachamim Marpe, the Loshen of a Chachamim teaches us healing. Holding on, I'm on Gimel Amon Aleph. So the Mishnah shows that example in order to, by the way, teach us that this kind of thing is good for a womb. So Reuben has made a neder not to have Hanah from Shimon. So now what we'd be saying, but he, and he used the word Hanas Ma'acholcha. So fine, what it would mean is that he would be also to, he'd be also to eat Shimon's food. He'd also be also, maybe we would say that Shimon is not allowed to eat something and thereby benefit Reuben, namely, by chewing wheat and then putting it on a wound, on an injury of Reuven's, in order to help heal it. So maybe that would be also. Where are we getting that should be also for Reuven to borrow kalim for food from Shimon? The answer is Amar Rava, but Oyma Hanah Hamavir LeDema Acholcha Alai. The answer is Rava says the Loshen is a little bit different. What he says is Hanah that brings to your eating, or actually Machol is really supposed to be. It says on the side. Hanah that brings to eating a lie will be also to me. So therefore that's why it includes the various kalim that bring to Hanah of food, namely, in other words, a sieve and a sifter and the rest of the things that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So now the Ran discusses there are two different opinions over here. So now suppose he says that Loshen. Is he in fact, so now it's clear from the Mishnah that he's going to be also to borrow kalim that are used for food. Is he in fact going to be also in that case also to have Shimon chew wheat for him and put it on Reuven's wound? So the Ran brings two opinions about that. First he brings an opinion that yes, in that case he will be also in that as well. Then the Ran says, I don't like that explanation. Hanah Hamavili De Michael does not seem to include that kind of thing. So, if he says a neder just from machol without anything else, then it only means he's not allowed to eat the other guy's food. If he says hanas machol cha'olai, then it means he's also to eat the other guy's food as well as to benefit from the chewed wheat. But he'd be allowed to borrow kalim. And if he says hanah amavila de machol, then he will be also to eat the other guy's food and also to borrow the kalim, but he will be mutter to benefit from the wheat. That's how the Ram learns. There is an interesting discussion in this regard, by the way. Often in halacha, when we say that something is osur, you say that usually it's osur in hanah, that's the regular kind of hanah. For example, the Torah tells us don't eat something chafe, but in general you're allowed to have hanah, unless the Torah specifies otherwise, like by Basa B'cholav. Here, this is a very unusual kind of hanah. Why should it even be included in the neder in the first place? And so one answer is, in fact, that when it comes to nedarim, you would in fact be also even an unusual kind of hanah. Not everybody agrees to that though, and they give different other reasons. And in fact, in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, we don't have Hilchos Nedarim. However, we do have something incidentally that is mentioned in Hilchos Eruvin. You have a case where a person has made a neder not to benefit from a certain kind of food, where nevertheless such food is allowed to be used for an Eruv or a Shittuf, for an Eruv Chatzeres or a Shittuf Mavoyis for him. because he may not be allowed to eat it, but it's not completely off limits to him because he can use it. He still can have hana from it in unusual ways. So that would be so implying, in other words, if he had made a neder, for example, not to have hana from wheat, not necessarily would he be also to use wheat in this kind of way to put on his wound, right? Only over here we're talking about he made a specific neder not to have hana from your eating. Then we're saying that we're saying, according to the first opinion that the Ran brings, that would include this as well. And according to the second opinion, no, only if he said the hana of according to everybody, if he says the hana of your eating is also to me, so then your eating includes your chewing wheat. And then the Ran says, if he only says the hana that brings to eating is also to me, then the Ran holds, they're saying that in fact he wouldn't be also for the other guy to chew wheat for him, because that's not a hana that brings to eating. Okay. The Gemara says, Omar Papa, sack lahavi peiris. Suppose that he wants to borrow a sack in order to carry peiris from one thing to another, from one place to another. Or v'chamor lahavi al peiris, or if he wants to borrow a donkey to carry such peiris on it, v'afilu tzana ba'alma, or even if he just wants to borrow a basket, hana hamavila de Michael, who all of those are considered a hana that brings to food. Because, in other words, the Ran says, you would think that our Mishnah mentions, for example, a sieve or a sifter. Without them, you don't have, the food can't be prepared. They are essential in preparing the food. Here, on the other hand, we're just talking about things to carry the food from point A to point B. You would think maybe that shouldn't be also. Therefore, a papa is informing us that not. In fact, you would be also to borrow those things as well. Again, if the neder was formulated as hana amavili de Michael, that I am also in hana from you that will bring to food. Because ultimately, these things do bring to food. These are actually not so much yodos. This is when he says hana of food, of the hana from you that will bring to food is also, that's not a yad. That's actually a full fledged neder. Well, depending, I mean, if you said also only, then fine, that would be a yad, because really the proper way would be to say also like a korban. But fine. But in other words, the point is that he actually expressed what it is that's included in the neder. When we talk about yodis at the beginning of the Masechta, it's more that what he was speaking of is very clear, but we needed to fill in something in order to say that it's a neder at all. He said, for example, such and such a lie, we have to figure out whether he means that it's also to me like a korban, or whether he means that it's on me to bring the value of it as a korban, and so forth. So now that Rav Papa stated that the dinim of our Mishnah, that he's not allowed to borrow kalim that are used for Eichel Nefesh, would include even things that are very distant from preparing food. Namely, they're not needed for preparing the food at all, just for bringing it from one place to another. So all of those things, he says, Hana Hamavir the day Michael, who all of those are considered a Hana that brings the food. Now, boy Rav Papa. Now, on top of that, then Rav Papa has a question. What about Sus Lirkov Olav? What if Reuven, who made the neder, and by the way, keep in mind, throughout everything that we're saying over here, we're going to talk about that it's Reuven who made the neder, not to benefit from Shimon. Really, it would be effectively the same thing if Shimon were to make the neder, that Reuven should not benefit from him. Either way, the point is Reuven is also to have benefit from Shimon. But let's keep things simple. Let's say that it's Reuven who made the neder, not to benefit from Shimon. So now, the question is, suppose he wants to later on borrow from Shimon Sus Lirkov Olav, a horse to ride on it, the Tabas Leroyspa, or he wants to borrow a ring in order to show off with it. Now the Ran explains that both the horse and the ring would be for him to look very important. So he's on his way to a party, for example. So he wants to come riding on a horse wearing a fancy ring. That way they'll think that he's more important than he really is. And that way they'll give him a nice portion of food over there. So now the question is that considered a hana that brings the food or not? So that's how the Ran learns. The Rosh explains that no, the horse doesn't necessarily mean that in order to honor him, the horse is just to be able to get to the party. And then the ring, yes, is in order for them to think that he's important. So what about those? The question is, mahu, what would be the din with those? Are those considered anywhere close enough to hanas maichol, like this, for example, with the ring according to everybody? So let's say, for example, with the horse, according to the Ran, the point is, if he comes there on a horse, they're going to give him a nicer portion of food than they otherwise would. So is that considered a hana that brings the food, or is that too far removed from the actual food to not be a problem? The same thing with the ring. He comes there, shows up there wearing a fancy ring, the same thing, they'll give him a nicer portion. And according to the Rosh, the question is, just the horse he's using to get there, without the horse, it would have taken him longer to get there, or he might not get there at all. Is that considered a hana that brings the food or not? And also, the Papa asked, Mifsak umezo ba'are mai. What about, would he be allowed to take a shortcut through the other guy's property in order to get to the party? So again, are those considered a hana hamaviyah l'jay ma'achol? We said in the Mishnah that if he makes a neder only involving ma'achol, then he is allowed to take a shortcut through his property, because we said then saregel. But now where he's taking the shortcut in order to get to a party where he's going to eat, is that maybe different? Is that maybe considered hana ma'achol? Or is that maybe considered hana hamaviyah l'jay ma'achol? So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's try to prove from the end of the Mishnah. We said, we said that on the other hand, you are allowed to borrow from a person that you're also to have hana from. You're allowed to borrow from him, a hana of food, that is. You're allowed to borrow from him a shirt or a talus or ring or earrings or finger rings. The order, interestingly, is a little different than it was in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, the order was cholok v'tabas, the talus and the zamin. Here it's cholok v'talus. Okay, whatever. Anyway, I don't know if there's any particular significance to the difference. But anyway, so you have to ask heichidomi. So you have to ask, what is the scenario that the Mishnah is telling us that you're allowed to? Are we talking about you're not borrowing them in order to show off with them? You're just borrowing them because right now you need them for practical purposes. Does the Mishnah need to tell us? Of course, there's no hana of Michael involved in that at all. So of course you'd be allowed to borrow a shirt or a talus, etc. Evidently, the Mishnah must mean that you're using them in order to show off. Like we said, where people at the party will think, look, this guy is wearing this fancy choluk or this fancy talus. He must be an important person. Let's give him a nicer portion of food. And the Mishnah is saying that he can borrow it. So therefore implying that such a thing would be mutter. That is considered far enough away from Hanas Maichel that it should be mutter. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. You could say the Mishnah is not talking about where he's borrowing them in order to show off, but just because he needs them for practical purposes. But since the Mishnah had started with a list of things that he's not allowed to borrow, therefore the Mishnah finishes off with a list of things that he could borrow, but not necessarily implying that he could borrow them under any circumstances, maybe just under regular circumstances. Suppose a person borrows a choluk, for example, just in order to be able to go out because he ran out of shirts, but not necessarily because he's wearing it to a party where they're gonna think of him more nicely and give him a nicer portion of food. So in the end, the bottom line is that the Ran says there. So the Gemara has left their Papa's question open. Therefore, the result would be that, as usual, as we've said in our Masechta, you do have to be machner. However, the Rambam adds, a person wouldn't get Malkus for it, because you can't get Malkus for violating something which may only be also Dirabana. So over here, we can't really Dirabana, it's a suffix, whether it's also or not, therefore you can't give him Malkus for that suffix. Okay. The Mishnah continues, V'chol davar she'in oisin ba'oichol nefesh. Now, even when it comes to things that are not used for oichol nefesh, but if it's the kind of place where they regularly rent out such things rather than lending them, then it would be also. So if you have, let's say, for example, a choluk, if it's a kind of place where people regularly lend each other shirts, then fine, there's no hanas maichel involved, and we just discussed in the Gemara, okay, is it maybe different if he's borrowing the shirt in order to go to a party and look nicer? But under regular circumstances, it would be mutter. But you may have a place where people don't regularly lend such things out. You want to borrow such a thing from me, you're going to have to rent it. You're going to have to pay me a few bucks for it. Well, then, in that case, if he borrows it, then he's gaining hanoah hamavir v'demaychol, because now he's saving a few dollars, and now those few dollars he can use to buy food. Therefore, that would be awesome. So the Gemara says, miklal, so the implication is, the resha af b'shein maskirin, that in the resha, when we say that that he's not allowed to borrow a sieve or a sifter and so forth, that would be also, even if it's a place where they don't usually rent out such things. So in other words, the difference would be a sieve or a sifter, etc., you're never allowed to borrow, and a shirt, and a shirt or a talus and so forth, it would depend whether the local minhag is to rent out such things and instead you're borrowing it. So man tana, who is the tana who would say that? And the answer is, Amar Abba, Rabbi Eliezer. Again, that would be a point to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's saying that even vitur is also, even the kind of thing that people might regularly say, you know what, I'm willing to forego the small benefit that usually I would get. And we're saying you're not allowed to do that, because that would be considered hanah. Well, then Rabbi Eliezer would be saying the same thing over here. In fact, Tosfos points out that this is what, because this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous one, and therefore, in effect, they're all one long Mishnah, and in fact, in the printed Mishnayos, they are, that is why, that's what makes the Gemara say that the whole thing is according to Rabbi Eliezer. If it hadn't been for that, done like this, we said before that Tosfos learned that the case in the previous Mishnah about walking through the other person's property, Tosfos had said over there that specifically was talking about, for example, a bika, a valley full of fields where the average person, when the crops are not in season, for the average person doesn't mind somebody else walking through his property, and it's vitur to do that. Most people wouldn't mind, and nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer was saying it's also. The question would be, says Tosfos, what forced the Gemara to say that? To say that it's a coin to Rabbi Eliezer and that it's talking about such a case, why didn't we say instead that we're talking about walking through his chotzer? And Tosfos had learned before that walking through his chotzer, everybody would agree, is considered hanah. Tosfos says that's why, because since this part of the Mishnah clearly has to go according to Rabbi Eliezer, because according to the Chachamim, the fact that people usually lend these, the fact that people usually rent these things out, and you instead are getting it as a loan, where therefore you're not having to pay, that small amount of vitur is considered hanah according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's what forces us to say that in the previous Mishnah as well, we're talking about that kind of hanah that is only vitur, and therefore we have to say, says Tosfos, that we're talking about walking through his field as opposed to walking through his chotzer, through his courtyard. According to the Ran, it would be slightly different. If he said, according to the Ran, quoting the Ramban, the difference was between hanging around in his chotzer and walking through it. So again, similar idea. In other words, you would say that the Gemara could have said it's talking about hanging around in his chotzer, and everybody would agree that that's considered hanah, but instead the Gemara said it's talking about even walking through his chotzer, and made it according to Rabbi Eliezer, because our Mishnah clearly is like Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah clearly, there's no way to make our Mishnah work according to the Chachamim. Again, as the Ran said before, the fact that we have Stam Mishnah over here like Rabbi Eliezer should imply that Halacha is like him, and most of the Rishonim learn that way, although Rabbi Hananel and Rabbi Tam disagree with that. Okay. Mishnah says, Hamudr Hanah Mechaveri. If a person makes a neder, so Reuven has made a neder not to have Hanah from Shimon. So nevertheless, there are certain kinds of things that Shimon can do for him. Shoykaloy as Shikloy. The one whom he's also to have hanah from is still allowed to pay machzah shekel on his behalf. So actually, the Ran over here uses the expression hamadu lamuder. So what it would mean is. So the other way around. So let's say, in other words, it was Shimon who initiated the neder and said, Reuven is also to have hanah from me. So now Reuven is also to have hanah from Shimon. Nevertheless, later on, Shimon is allowed to give machzah shekel on Reuven's behalf. Now, why is that? So we're going to see in the Gemara. He's also allowed to pay off Reuven's debt. And he's also allowed to return a lost object of Reuven's. In the case of the Machzor Le'Avedosoi, the reason is because it belonged to Reuven all along. The reason why for the Machzor Shekel and paying off the load and paying off the debt, that we're going to see in the Gemara. But the reason why he's allowed to return his lost object is because it was Reuven's all along. It never left Reuven's Rishus. Now, what happens in places, in a case where there is schar, where there's payment involved. So the Ran explains, for example, you have the case, and now the Gemara, now you're usually not allowed to take payment for doing a mitzvah. However, the Gemara tells us in Eilam Metzias, in Bava Metzia, that you can have a case where a person took time off work in order to find and return the Aveda. So then he's actually entitled to a certain amount of compensation for the time he took off work. He can't, the Mishnah says over there, he can't demand his full salary instead, but he can ask to be paid kapoyo bottle, as if he was an unemployed worker. In other words, like the amount of, the amount that you, different Rishonim have different explanations what exactly that means, but it means basically that you would pay him a lesser amount, as if he was taking off from an easier job, or as if like how much he'd be willing to be paid in order to take a day off work, whatever. There's different explanations exactly what it is, but the bottom line is he is entitled to some kind of compensation if he wants. Mind you, the Gemara says over there a person shouldn't do it. The Gemara has an expression over there, call him a medactic, a person. The Gemara has an expression over there at the end of the parak that a person who's medactic in it, who's always particular to the nth degree, you have to pay me every dollar that I should be entitled to. Soif baldi dekach, and eventually Hashem makes him that he taka needs every dollar that he can get because he's poor. But in any case, in principle, api halacha, he is entitled to demand that payment. So now the problem is, again, so Shimon has returned Reuven's lost object, where Reuven is also to have anah from Shimon. Now the problem is that if he takes the money from Shimon, then he's having anah from him. And if he's moichel to him, then he's giving him anah. So therefore, so over makam shenotna leschar. So in a place where there was schar involved, then tipol hanah lehekdish, then that hanah should be given to hekdish, because that way he won't. That way, neither of them are having hanah from it. Now you can't just say now the Rosh adds, you can't just throw it into the Yalam Melach, as we often say when you have something which is also hanah, because look, since it belongs to hekdish, then therefore you don't have the ability to go and destroy it and throw it into the Yalam Melach. That would only apply to things that. That would only apply to things that don't actually belong to Hekdesh, where there's a suffix, whether you can use it or various other things. We're going to talk about that. But Rosh says, therefore, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, the implication that Nidorim involve, that Nidorim, that Koinomos, as the Gemara calls them, that Me'ilah applies to them. We touched on this in the previous Perek, that sometimes you say when something is also by a Neder, then it's considered a form of Hekdesh. So we're going to discuss that point in the Gemara in the next couple of blocks. About that point that it, to a certain extent, it's considered already to belong to Hekdesh, and therefore Me'ilah applies, and therefore you can't just throw it into the Yalam Melech. The Rambam, by the way, explains a different point of Noitman Leschar. He says the same way, for example, as we were just saying, let's say as far as borrowing shirts or whatever, where there are places where the local minhag is to rent them out rather than lending them, in the same way, you have places in the world where the minhag is that if you return somebody's lost object, then the guy pays you for your trouble. So again, in such places, if you were to forego that payment, then you're giving him anah, and if you collect the payment, then you're taking anah, therefore you can't do that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Alma avruchi ariba almahu. Now, you see, apparently, that the beginning of the Mishnah, talking about matzah shekel and paying off a loan, the reason why it's mutter is because you're not actually giving him anything. It's just like scaring away a lion from his property. So the Ran explains that this is referring to both the matzah shekel and paying off the loan. In other words, what happens if a person doesn't give matzah shekel? The collectors, the matzah shekel collectors, are going to go after them. Now, like this, what you've done is you haven't actually given him anything. What you've done is you've made it that now those collectors won't come after him. Similarly, you pay off his debt, means that now the Baal Chayv won't come after them, but you're not actually giving him anything. The Ran also points out that when it comes to Matzah Shekel, in any case, even if a person doesn't give Matzah Shekel, he still has a portion in the Korbanos Tzibur. You shouldn't think maybe you're giving him the Hanah, that now he has a portion in the Korbanos, and if it hadn't been for that, he wouldn't have. No, the Ram says that actually a person every Jew has a share in the Korbanos Tzibur, whether he actually gives Matzah Shekel or not. Just that if he doesn't give Matzah Shekel, then the collectors come after him. The Rosh understands it differently. He says the reason why with Machzor Shekel it would be mutter is because of the mitzvah, and mitzvahs you can talk about, those are a different kind of thing. Later on in the parak, we're going to talk about different cases where a mutter hana is still allowed to do mitzvahs on behalf of somebody else, and this would be an example of that. And when it comes to
pen, he does it without the other guy knowing it?
So it can mean that he does it without the other guy knowing it, Bapashis, yeah. So in the case of Shiflo, then fine, he's doing a mitzvah on his behalf. So that's not like any other kind of debt. But at least when it comes to a regular debt, then the Mishnah is implying that it's mutter because it's only metaphorically scaring away a lion. In other words, he's not actually giving him anything, he's just removing a potential source of harm. Well, the question is Mantana. Which Tana would it be that says that such a thing is mutter? The answer is Amar Rav Hoshea Zu Divrei Chonon. This would be according to the opinion of Chonon. Now we learned at the end of Ksubas, the Gemara is going to quote it soon, that you have a case that we had at the end, the last parak of Ksubas, we had a couple of dinim that Chonon, who was we learned over there, you had the Shnei Dayonim Zeiros Yerushalayim, you had the two Dayonim who were specially, their specialty was dealing with matters of Zeilus and other things of dinim Mominus. We said there were two Dayanim, Chonon and Chonon and Admon. We said really there was a third one as well, also named Chonon, but he wasn't as important. In any case, the Mishnah had said over there that Chonon disagreed with the other Chachamim on two Dinim, and one of them is relevant to our Gemara over here. So our Mishnah would be specifically according to Chonon's opinion. As opposed to the Bnei Kohenim Gdolim, who disagreed with him, would say differently. So we'll quote in a couple of lines, we'll quote what Chonon says. Rava disagrees with Rav Hoshea and says, no, you can say that our Mishnah goes according to everybody. The difference is, Gabe Mudr Hana, because the difference is, over here in our case of the Mudr Hana, where he's also to have Hana, the reason why it's Mudr, the Yohiv Amunas Shaloi Lefraya. Because the case is, the original loan was taken out Almanas that he doesn't have to pay. So you can have a case, in other words, where previously, so before there was ever this neder, Reuven had gone and borrowed money from Levi. Levi had told that they had arranged a loan that Reuven has taken out a loan from Levi. However, Levi is not going to be able to force Reuven to pay back the loan. Reuven on his own should eventually pay. But he's not. But Levi has waived any rights to force him to pay. So now when Shimon goes and pays off the loan on his behalf, so on the one hand, Reuven might have paid eventually because he's embarrassed every time he sees Levi on the street, he's going to remember that he owes him money. But still, he had the choice not to pay. So therefore, you can't really say that Shimon gave Reuven any kind of tangible benefit. So the Ran goes on to say, by the way, that according to this, we would have to say, as far as the case of the Machzor Shekel, where again, we were saying the reason why it's mutter by the Machzor Shekel is because he has a portion in the Korbanos anyway, and we said, if not for that, then now the problem is, with the Machzor Shekel, the fact is that the collectors will come after him. So don't you have the same problem, that if they're coming after him, then according to Rava, how is Rava going to understand? So according to Reb Hoshea, we can understand, because again, we're going to quote in a minute, we'll quote Chonon, that says that even when you have any other kind of debt, even though the person eventually would have had to pay that debt, nevertheless, it's only Mavriach Ari, it's only removing a potential source of harm, not actually giving them anything. But according to Rava, who says that our Mishnah can work according to the opinions against Chonon as well, according to the Bnei Kohenim Gdolim, as we learned in Ksubas, so according to him, it's not that Mavriach Ari is mutter, it's just that you have a special case where they're not coming after him. Well, in the case of Machzor Shekel, why aren't they coming after him? So the answer is, the Ran says, Rava would have to understand our Mishnah as talking about that he did send his Machzor Shekel, and then... So now what happened was, we learned at the end of Ksubas, that three times a year they would go into the chamber there where the Machzor Shekels were kept in the Beis Mikdash, and they would take out boxfuls of coins to pay for the Korbanos. Once they do that, and they have in mind that everybody who has not yet given Machzor Shekels included as well, at that point, at that point, if the person's machzah shekel gets lost or stolen on the way, then at that point, it's already considered to belong to the treasury of the Beis Mikdash, and therefore, nobody's going to be coming after him to pay. All he has to do is he has to swear an oath to the Gizborim, to the treasurers of the Beis Mikdash, that this is what happened, and then he's potter from paying. So therefore, nobody's coming after him. So now, if instead Shimon says, you know what, I don't want Hefdish to lose out that machzah shekel, I'll pay it on Reuven's behalf, then it's exactly the same kind of thing as paying off a debt where Reuven had taken out a loan from Levi, and the deal was that he doesn't have to pay it back. Because the same kind of thing that the Gizborim can't force him. That's what the Ran explains. So again, according to the Rava, we don't have to say that the first two cases of our Mishnah, so the third thing of our Mishnah about Masu Abidase, we'll discuss further down on the Amud. We'll learn that tomorrow, Best Hashem. But right now, the first two cases of the Mishnah involving the Machzah Shekel and involving paying off the debt. So again, according to Rav Hoshea, only Chanan would say that this is Mutter for a Mudder Anah, as we're going to learn in a second what Chanan said. And Rava is saying that no, it could be according to all opinions, because we're talking about over here in both cases, in the case of the loan and according to the Ran also in the case of Machzah Shekel, that we're talking about a situation where he can't be forced to pay in the first place. So, my Chanan, what is Chanan's opinion that bears on this? So, Ditznan, we learned in a Mishnah at the end of Ksuvus. Misha holach l'medina seyam, if a husband went overseas, and his wife needs mezonos, his wife needs to be supported while he's away. The Omad Echod Pirnesis Ishtoi, somebody voluntarily went and started supporting the wife while the husband is away. So now the question, we're talking about that the person didn't say, I'm lending you the money. And it wasn't that the husband told him before he left, I want you to be in charge of supplying my wife with mezonos. He did it voluntarily without considering it a loan or anything. So now, Chanan Omer Ibed Esma Oysav. So Chanan says he's lost his money. In other words, nobody is responsible to pay him back. And the reason would be, again, because this is an example of Mavriach Ari. This is an example of that the husband would have been subject to a valid claim by the wife. You left me without mezonos. I had to go and sell some of your property in order to do that. Now I needed to borrow money for the purpose. Now you need to reimburse me. But like this, in other words, it's only Mavriach Ari, so he's only preventing the husband from suffering that kind of loss. Therefore, Chanan says you can't make anybody pay him up. And the Mishnah continues. So applying that to our Mishnah, we'd be saying that in our Mishnah, it's only Mavriach Ari. You're not actually giving him anything. You're just preventing a claim from being pursued against him. The Mishnah continues over there. Nechluk wa'ol of Bnei Kohenim Gdolim. The sons of the Kohenim Gdolim argued with Chanan. So with the Kohenim Gdolim, we learn in Yuma and in other places that the Kohenim Gdolim towards the end of the second Beis Mikdash weren't so good, and often they would only serve for 1 year, but nevertheless, still their children still were alive after them, and apparently we see from our Gemara that they were Tamid Chachamim of some caliber, enough to be quoted in the Mishnah. There are other Gemaras that imply that they weren't such good people as far as Midas Tovis, but apparently, or at least their servants and whatever were harassing the people and causing other problems. But we see over here that they were also Tamid Chachamim of note. Anyway, so they argued the Amru, and they said, Yishava Kamahotzi, let this third party, this person who voluntarily supported the wife while her husband is away, let him swear how much he spent, and he should be entitled to be reimbursed for that amount. Because, in other words, they're saying that even though it's only Mavriach Ari, even though it's only preventing the wife from pursuing a claim against her husband, nevertheless, that's considered giving the husband something. Well, therefore, the husband has to reimburse him. And the Mishnah continues, Amr Rav Yosef and Hokinas Kedivreyem, Rav Yosef and Hokinas agreed with the Bnei Kohenim Gdolim that the person is entitled to reimbursement. On the other hand, Amr Rav Yechanan Zakkai Yofa Amr Chanan, Rav Yechanan Zakkai says that Chanan said correctly, because we can say, Hiniach Ma'osav HaKeren Atzvi, in effect, it's like he put his money on the horns of a deer. In other words, imagine, you put money on the horns of a deer, it's going to run off and you're never going to see it again. So it's a metaphor for a person spending his money in a way where he's never going to see that money again. We learned over there actually a different explanation that a tzvi, we said we learned over there an explanation that a tzvi, a deer, sheds its antlers every so often and it hides them in a crevice or something. So you're not going to find it again. You're not going to find those antlers in the crevice so easily. So the same way, like as if the money was tied to the antlers and then they're being shed and you're never going to find it again. Whatever the case, the point is it's a metaphor for, it's an expression for, it's an expression for when a person spends money that he's never going to see returned to him. So therefore, so now, Rav Hoshea applies that to our Mishnah. So only according to Chanan, according to Chanan, we'd be saying the person has no recourse. He has no ability to collect from the husband. He made it that the husband didn't have to support his wife during that time, but it's only Mavriya Hari because the wife would eventually come with a taina against her husband, and all he's doing is preventing that taina from taking place. We can't say that he actually gave the husband something, as opposed to the B'nai Kohanim Gerdim would say that he did. Well, applying that to our Mishnah, if Shimon pays off Reuven's debt, when Reuven is also to have anah from Shimon, according to Chanan that would be fine, but according to the B'nai Kohanim Gerdim it wouldn't. So therefore, Rav Hoshea says our Mishnah has to be specifically according to Chanan, and then again, Rava had said that no, our Mishnah is talking about the special case where it's a debt where nobody was going to be able to demand it from him anyway. The deal was, when he took out the debt, that he will pay it voluntarily if he wants, but nobody can force him to do it. And therefore, our Mishnah would be talking about that specific kind of debt. By the way, in that Gemara in Ksubas, Rabbi Tam learns over there in Tosfos that even Chanan is going to apply that kind of thing only to a case of a husband and wife because, among other things, the wife has other possibilities. Among other things, she could eat less during the time that her husband is away. Instead of requiring X amount for food, she could manage on less during the time her husband is away. Or she could use her maisi adeha and use that to buy food for herself instead. Rabbi Natan says over there, even Chanan wouldn't necessarily apply it to other kinds of debts. So according to Rabbi Natan, it would come out that over here, we'd have to be talking about specifically where Shimon pays on behalf of Reuven when Reuven is out of town and didn't leave Mazonis for his wife. As opposed to, according to the other, Rishonim would apply more generally. The Ran has a long discussion over here, actually, of that point. He brings from the Rashba, that only if this other guy tells the wife, the reason why I'm giving you this money is because I understand that your husband was supposed to provide you mezonos and he didn't, and therefore I'm taking over for him instead. But if he had not said that, if he had just done stam, says the Rashba, then even Chanan would agree that he is entitled to collect again, because then we assume if he didn't say anything, it means that he's lending the money. And then the Ran goes into a discussion of that point according to the Rashba, and the Ran says I disagree with that. That even if he just does it stam, then we would still say according to Chanan hiniach ma'osav akherin atzvi that he's lost his money and he has no recourse. And then the Ran goes on to discuss what the halacha is. The halacha is in fact like Chanan in the Smachlokas with the B'nai Kohanim Gdolim, but in what cases is the halacha exactly like him? So the question is, why do we have two different answers? Why did Rav Hoshea have one answer and Rava had a different answer? So the Gemara says, Rava like Omakir Rav Hoshea. Rava did not want to explain on Mishnah like Rav Hoshea did, that it's according to Chanan, because the Kamukim Lo Namastisim Kedivrei Hakol. Rava would prefer that our Mishnah, being a Stam Mishnah, should be according to everybody, rather than have to say that it's only according to Chanan. On the other hand, Rav Hoshea, like Omakir Rava, Rav Hoshea does not want to explain the Mishnah like Rava and say that it's talking about a case where he can't force them to pay the debt, because Rav Hoshea would say, Zera Shalobi Parah Mishum Li Parah. It's true, in principle, you could say that where the deal was that Reuven is not required to pay Levi for his debt, then you could say that it's not considered that Shimon paying on behalf of Reuven is not really considered a Hanah. But nevertheless, Rav Hoshea argues that we would have a reason to say that we would make a gzera that he shouldn't pay it back in that case, because that might easily be confused with a case of regular loan, which is Amanas Lipara, And then that would be a hana. So therefore, so Rav Hoshea is going to say that we can't make our Mishnah work like the B'nai Kohanim Golem, because it's true in principle it should, but we've made it zera otherwise because we don't want people to confuse it with the regular kind of loan, which is meant with where he can demand payment. And therefore, Rav Hoshea says the only way to make our Mishnah work would be like chon. So actually, the Gemara in Ksubas actually makes a different point over there. That there's another reason. There's a different reason actually that Ran quotes why it is that he wouldn't be allowed to even forget about Zavis. The fact is, when Shimon pays off Reuben's debt, it's true he's not. It's true that he's only. It's true he's only Mavriach Ari. However, what he is saving Reuben from is from embarrassment. Like we were saying before, like this, Reuben is going to see Levi every so often on the street, and he's going to be embarrassed. I borrowed money from him, and I never paid him back. It's true that Levi has waived his right to demand the payment from Reuben, but Reuben himself is going to feel embarrassment every time he passes by Levi in the street. So therefore, so we could say that the B'nai Kohanim Golem would consider that to be a hana to the extent that we would say that he can't pay off on his behalf. Only Chonon wouldn't consider that a hana. Therefore, Chonon would say, in the case of our Mishnah, that he can pay off his debt, and we're not worried about that, whereas the B'nai Kohanim Golem would be concerned about that. So that would be a different reason than our Gemara is saying, according to Rav Hoshea, why, according to the B'nai Kohanim Golem, he couldn't pay off his debt. So our Gemara is saying, because of Gzera, that Gemara is saying, because the fact is, he is saving him from embarrassment, and that's considered a hana as well. And the bottom line is, according to Rav Hoshea, that is why our Mishnah cannot work according to the B'nai Kohanim Golem, only according to Chonon. So as far as the next piece, as far as Master Abidase, we'll take that up tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Shkoyach, everyone.